Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is my dad, Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. Have you ever found yourself in an argument and later on asked yourself, what just happened? Why am I so mad? How did that escalate so quickly and get me so fired up? In this episode, we're going to explore the behaviors needed to get out of an argument or conflict you didn't even want to be in. This discussion is directly relevant to every area of your life. Now, I'm not a behavioral expert, but I am someone who, as a leader, teacher, person, spouse, and coach, have found myself sucked into the vortex of conflict plenty of times. I've observed people in this situation, I've read about it, and have learned a lot of different angles when finding myself in that situation where suddenly I am becoming physically uncomfortable. And in that time, I've learned a few truths about conflict. And there are three truths. But before I get into those truths, I want to share the statement that sparked today's episode. I was at a conference listening to a well-established and recognized leader in coaching. He casually made a comment that had to do with something else that he was not speaking about, but it stung me like an unwelcome wasp at a picnic. He simply said out to the audience, "Hey, no matter how bad the situation is that you're in, you can always make it worse." Wow, that got me thinking, and frankly, it had me disengaged. I don't even know what he talked about for the next half hour, because I just sat there reflecting on all the times in life that I had either fueled or been trapped in a conflict. Every conflict I've ever been in has either been fueled by me or extinguished by me, or fueled or extinguished by the other party. There have been times as a teacher, I wasn't even aware that I was in a cycle of conflict with a student or parent, that I was making things worse by continuing a behavior that I was unaware was fueling the situation. As a leader, when I was unaware that a story had seeded in the mind of the other person, and now suddenly I was a character in a narrative beyond my own control, and it didn't matter what I did because every action I took was offensive. I've run into people in my life that seem to enjoy throwing conflict grenades around and getting entire groups fired up based upon completely inappropriate and wrong narratives. Clearly, I'm getting excited about this. So, how do we as leaders recognize that we are suddenly in a cycle of conflict? Well, it goes back to the two core behaviors of the greatest leaders: empathy and reflection. We need to constantly recognize as people that there are people in front of us who are losing it. That when they do lose it, you may not be the actual issue. And to do that, you have to be thinking of the three truths about conflict. Truth number one, people only engage in conflict when they feel threatened. There is a threat perceived by the other person to an idea, someone or something they care about or love, a belief that they hold firmly, or their actual physical self. Truth number two, conflict is fueled by the heart. Conflict is driven by the heart being informed by the brain that there is something amiss. And truth number three, resolution takes time and a process. People need to see and hear themselves through the entire process. A cycle of conflict is simple to explain and difficult to recognize. Many times, we don't even realize we're engaged until we are trapped and have no way out. But we will explore the strategies of how to disengage this in a moment. Let me give you an example of a cycle of conflict in the classroom. Here it is. So the teacher asks a student for their homework. The student says, "I don't have it done." The teacher responds by saying, "Not surprised." Student says, "You shouldn't be surprised. Your class sucks." Teacher says to the whole class, "Whoa, the class wouldn't suck if you did your work." The kid is loading their response, and this goes on too long. It breaks a relationship and creates tension forever. Now, the student and the teacher in this scenario are both demonstrating bad judgment, but they are also now breaking law number one. They are threatened, each because of the audience. Exchanges like this rarely happen in one-on-one settings, but in this example, there's a classroom full of kids watching. The student is feeling threatened because of reputation and peers observing, and the teacher is feeling threatened that the class is watching and will be making judgments about his or her authority. We have ourselves a cycle. Now, what should happen way early on in this process is that the adult should not even engage in front of an audience. But in this case, it's too late. And it's a common error that a lot of people make. And it doesn't have to be in a classroom. It can be in the boardroom, in the cafeteria. It can be in a car. It can be at home. It doesn't matter. But too often, it's too late as the one leader forgets or fails to recognize that they should be stepping out of this. But now, in this specific example, the student has a platform where they can either continue to argue to save face or sit down and feel humiliated. I don't know what you're thinking right now. Some would say that this kid is just plain disrespectful and should be disciplined, and others would recognize the error made on the part of the leader. Regardless, here's what now needs to occur. The leader needs to recognize that they have spun themselves into a cycle of conflict, because the only way out now is to use a power tool or do the following. Now wait, a power tool. What is that? That's situational authority. I'm the boss. Sit down. Get out. You're fired. That's it. One more time and you have to leave the field. Anything like that is an example of a power tool. Or you can do the following. The leader, once realizing that they have found themselves in a small tornado, needs to cognitively elevate themselves so that they can process the situation. This takes recognition that they are about to go down one of two roads. They're either going to make this better or they're going to make it worse. Once you recognize and elevate yourself by reflecting and empathizing, you need to disengage, be the leader, and stop the cycle. This happens quite simply. You stop talking. You engage in silence and you buy your brain time to catch up to your heart. When you're threatened, you drop into your instincts and your instincts are screaming, "Survive!" Sometimes, probably like you, my heartbeat will escalate and I will swear that as my emotions are about to take over, I hear this in my head. Okay, now, when that song goes through my head, yeah, I think I'm Rocky, and I think I got to engage. But, when you're in survival mode, the only thing that can come out of your mouth are crazy things. You begin to think to yourself, not only do I have to win this argument, I need to pulverize the person in front of me so they'll never do this to me again. And unfortunately, that rarely works as a leader. As a matter of fact, I can't think of a time it's effective because you lose credibility with any audience in the room when you do that. We can't afford to create the conditions that no one wants to confront us or be around us. So the third thing that needs to occur is to stop the argument by engaging in a process. That process is to find the root cause. Why isn't the kid doing their homework? And what do you need to do different in order to support the student? Before jumping to judgment about being lazy or disrespectful as an individual, you need to ask, what's occurring that this student is not doing their work? Why is it not valuable for them? And what do you need to do different to help them get across the finish line? Now, I recognize that some of you are saying to yourself, there's no room for disrespect in a hierarchy. That is true, but it's also not true. While we don't like it, this scenario happens in every level of every organization. Cycles of conflict occur everywhere in every venue, and they always have and always will. Just not with you anymore, because you're going to Buffalo out of it from now on by recognizing one simple truth. The only time people engage in these cycles is when they're threatened. So now remember that. Now, the fourth thing that has to occur is that you have to provide support for the threat. The other person engaged you because they had something within them feeling threatened, a habit, a way of life, an idea, whatever. But you now have to demonstrate that you are not threatening their narrative, or if you are, that you're willing to make change occur for them and with them, and you then have to support them through that process. The final step is easy. It's for you to hold yourself accountable in two ways. First, hold them accountable so that they can find success. And second, make them accountable to the new conditions. So the scenario above should end like this. Teacher stops engaging, empathetically looks at the entire class and the students, says to the student in front of the class, "I'm not worried about your homework. Let's just get to work." Then, when there is a natural break and both parties have cooled down, the teacher asks, "How would you like me to help you get your assignments in on time?" I realize this goes against a lot of people's core beliefs, but at the end of the day, is it about homework or is it about outcomes? It's about outcomes. So move away from compliance and focus on success. Too many times the kids above get kicked out of class, the employee gets fired, the colleagues get humiliated, and then no one wins in the long run, just the short term. The hardest part of a threat cycle is seeing it while it is happening. I mean, how many times have you been in a conversation and someone else triggers you? Then you start to feel your body tense, and then you take a simple jab in the conversation, and then you take a punch to the jaw from them, and suddenly you're in a full-blown exchange like Rocky and Creed. But you can't be. You can't be, because what happens is later on, you feel like a complete idiot. And that's when your brain catches up. The idiot part is because your brain catches up to your heart. So now, just start to recognize the symptoms of conflict. You feel threatened. Your heart is pumping uncharacteristically fast for 3:26 p.m. in the afternoon. You're tired. Your guard is down. And you suddenly can't stand someone that 3 minutes ago you loved. That's what you need to start to think about. The steps are simple to disengage. 1. Disengage. 2. Reflect. 3. Empathize. 4. Regroup. 5. Use a process to seek the root cause of the issue. Is it you or is it them? 6. Change your own behavior, no matter what. 7. Support the expectation. And 8. Be accountable. Sounds super simple, right? Wrong. This takes time, practice, modeling, coaching, and if you think I'm good at it, you're nuts. You need to really begin recognizing what makes you feel threatened, what drives you nuts, and why. And that's the last step here. You becoming cognizant of the things that bother you and others, because that is what you have to start to step back from. Think for a moment. What triggers you? I mean, what actually encourages your heart to engage others in a threat cycle? I'll tell you mine. Procrastination. Lack of recognition of others. People who focus on taking the credit or drawing praise to themselves, not appreciating what you have, and putting yourself first. Those are things that get my heart racing when I see them in others. I have to work really hard around people like this. There's a part of me that has to work really hard not to pounce on those type of people. I have to say to myself, that is them, not me. Work with them. Figure out what you need to do different. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. You just have to be different. So this week, be Buffalo. Lead with empathy and reflection. Disengage in the cycle and recognize that people who are acting in this manner and drawing you into a fight need you to provide clarity, need you to support them. They need compassion from you. They need you to be empathetic and they need you to change your behavior. And that's when they'll change theirs. They need you to charge into their storm and help them recognize that they simply can't walk towards dark clouds and get out of it quickly without your support. So let's do some smart thinking. Describe what you will do to see the threats others are feeling. List the steps for disengaging from the threat cycle. And finally, describe how others can help you recognize your low tolerance areas. That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. As always, thank you for listening and please share this on your social media platform by helping me help others hear these different messages. And thank you to the Wellpennies for the great music. Finally, this episode is something that I've been meaning to talk about for a long while. I work with so many great people and we all struggle with this issue. We are emotionally invested in our ideas, our work, our relationships, and too often we fail to confront a micro issue that then becomes a macro problem and conflict. When we are on the receiving end of conflict, we then have to drill down to the root of the issue, and it can be difficult because even the people who are upset or engaged in the cycle have forgotten what the initial incident was that set them into a macro cycle of conflict. Which is why the concept of Buffalo leadership is so critical. Because a leader does not let something go unspoken that breaks a norm. A leader does not wait to see if the problem fixes itself. A leader charges into a small situation with energy to get it corrected, fix the problem, and rewrite the narrative so that it is accurate. This week, don't be afraid to simply ask for clarification, to immediately ask what was meant when this was said, or more importantly, to advocate for yourself and say, I'm sure you didn't realize this, but this is the story that's now in my head. Be Buffalo for yourself and others as always, but when you hear the crack of thunder, turn and face the oncoming storm.